Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Chocolate is almost universally loved in candy or as an ingredient in other sweet treats, and like coffee and tea, the key ingredient is grown. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University's School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. And we're talking about some of our favorite foods, which are grown, like coffee, tea, and today, chocolate. Hey, Murph, thanks for stopping by.
Great to be with you.
So is chocolate universally loved? Or is there someplace on the planet that doesn't like chocolate? I find that hard to believe.
I'm not aware of anybody that doesn't like it. I know there's probably some folks out there that have food allergies and stuff like that, but it is one of the widest consumed things in the world that all socioeconomic classes of people eat chocolate in various forms.
Even if they can't eat chocolate, doesn't mean they don't want to eat chocolate allergy. So it's a bean or a pod of sorts? Where does it come from?
How about this, Mike? Chocolate comes from the chocolate tree, Theobroma cacao, which is a tropical tree with fruits. And the fruits are used to create the chocolate. When the chocolate tree produces its fruits, they are 5 to 10 inches long, pointed pod that has a meaty flesh inside that surrounds the seeds. And the seeds are what are processed to make chocolate. And if you're an identification or a horticulture person, botany, biology, horticulture, the nuts that are encased in the fruits have exactly 10 furrows. And I think that's an interesting identification detail. And once that nut is outside of the case that it's in, that's what we call the cacao nut.
Is it just the cacao that's used from that, or do people use other parts of that fruit, the fleshy part, for instance?
It is not consumed. It's a gelatinous type substance that insulates the seed while it matures inside the case.
So it's just discarded or used for compost or whatever. So are there different varieties of the chocolate tree used for chocolate, or are all of these sort of the same, like avocados and the Cavendish banana, which are all clones?
The similarities in those groups exist in chocolate. So you could have chocolate that's grown at a higher elevation in one spot than it is another. Or you could have the chocolate tree growing in places where the fields are actually irrigated versus a naturalized population that families have been harvesting from for a very long time. So that's similar to coffee and tea also that we talked about. And on the show, Mike, we talk about culture a lot when we talk about how the same plants are grown differently. That's exactly the case for the chocolate tree also.
Are we talking about plantations, operations that grow and harvest the chocolate pods? And where are these operations generally located?
They're typically in a plantation or mass agricultural operation.
Like an orchard.
Like an orchard, right. And the thing that I found interesting in learning about chocolate was a lot of chocolate is produced in the equatorial zone, south of the equatorial zone, primarily in Western Africa. There are other places like Indonesia and Southeast Asia where there's some coffee being grown. But all of it is consumed north of the equator. So it does hover around the equator, but more people are eating it outside of the areas where it's grown.
Why is that?
I think it's because it's a delicacy. Oh. It's expensive compared to the cost of other foods per calorie unit.
Should we be concerned about the cultivation and harvesting of cacao? There are these persistent concerns about child labor and slavery. Should we be looking for free trade chocolate?
It's a hard missile to dodge, because how would you know? Because a lot of chocolate, just like the coffee and tea that we've talked about, it's now being sold on a wider, more global market because globalism is popular in agriculture. And people seem to like it. You know, you and I talked about how much we like the farmers market coffee that we drink. Mm-hmm. And I think that the same is true for chocolate. And, when I lived and worked in Chicago, I met the person that started Vosges chocolate. How would you know where it came from unless you were there when it was harvested and put in the trucks? So to answer your question, absolutely. If we know about something that's involved in slave trade or, other kinds of forced will labor situations, best not to patronize that.
So it's a tropical, you said, growing in the equatorial regions. Could someone grow a tree indoors and actually harvest cacao?
If they could, it would require some pretty intense conservatory conditions because the plant lives year-round in the equatorial areas. So you'd have to have a conservatory condition that produced equatorial tropical conditions year-round.
So a greenhouse of some sort.
Yeah, and even that would be hard because in the winter, a greenhouse has in the Midwest, for example, or our homes in the Midwest in the winter, man, they get dry as the desert. And there would be a challenge there.
So if we were able to actually grow a tree, you just can't eat the cacao. There's a problem there, right?
Yeah. The raw cacao is dangerous to consume. It can damage your liver, your kidneys, or your adrenal gland. And the processing of that nut is what breaks down some of those harmful compounds that you might find in there. You also find inside cacao and chocolate a compound called phenylethylamine, and that is the addictive chemical that can be found in chocolate. It's also found in tobacco.
So it's not purely psychological, our love for or addiction to chocolate.
That's right, Mike. It's not purely, but, you know, it's like many things in science. There are varying opinions on it. Some people consider it to be truly addictive, and other people say, well, it's got a high sugar content when it's created for consumption. You know, the cacao content in chocolate, the higher it is, the closer it is to the gourmet scale. So a lot of people dismiss the addiction part to nothing more than a crash from your sugar surge, because the symptoms are the same: dizziness, nausea, headache. And if those are the symptoms that make up addiction, I think I have lots of addictions because I'm oftentimes dizzy with nausea and a headache.
We've all heard about chocolate making dogs sick, even killing them. What do you think? Is it important to really police the chocolate around your pets?
I think it is important because I've been privileged to be able to own a dog for most of my adult life, several dogs. Have one experience where a little beagle ate a whole bag of Brock's chocolate stars. Mm. Maybe it was because the cacao content is kind of low in retail chocolate a lot of times. It's not the same as a Vosges chocolate bar. It's just not the same. And there was no real life or death situation after that canine versus cacao incident, but there were some runs. There were some
cleanup
some
afterwards.
Output issues. Yeah.
So, and I've heard that homeowners should even be wary of using cocoa shells as mulch. Is that being overly concerned?
I don't know. I think it is. Unless your pet or your children are going outside and have established the habit of eating the mulch, I'm not sure exactly how that's a hazard.
I've seen some dogs do some really ridiculous things.
I know. You can't predict what they're going to do. But, you know, I think that the pros outweigh the cons on the cocoa shell mulch. It's an interesting mulch. You should use it in an area where you don't have a wind hazard, mm-hmm. because it doesn't seem to meld to the ground as well. It's not fibrous like hardwood mulch is. So it can blow all the way to Indiana when it's nice and dry and sunny in the middle of the winter. But if you have a protected area like an alcove or a recessed entryway and there's a garden in there, the cacao mulch is amazing because it smells like chocolate. And it stays that way for a while until the shells are broken down, and it does break down quickly. You're going to be remulching with cacao shells frequently, much more frequent interval than you would if you're using, say, shredded hardwood or bark mulch.
Okay, if you have any questions about chocolate or any growing thing, you can submit them at wglt.org/grow. Next week, we'll talk about protecting plants for the winter. This can include mulch or wrapping the plant of some sort, or maybe even just bringing it inside.
That'll be a great thing to talk about.
That's Patrick Murphy. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.